Tremaine Edmonds. And he said, well, Fred Warner's a special player. I would compare Tremaine's length and athleticism to Fred, his former teammate. That ball bounced off of one of the Bears, the return man. It caromed off his leg.
When you've got one of your players tied up with the gunner who's coming downfield, but there's nobody that's with Trent Sherfield. There's nobody that could potentially have the ball bounce into him except DeAndre Carter when he gets close to it. I mean, that is a call where you come up and you're telling your entire team to get away from the football. You can see there's the gunner right there, Terrell Smith. He bails. He knows it's a poor punt. I don't know why DeAndre Carter put himself in that position.
Are you able to explain what did happen on the missed punt, like technically with you?
Yeah, I was trying to call Peter. Just didn't get out the way of the ball. Ball took a bounce and hit me. Yeah.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
What you heard there was one of a number of unacceptable, unexplainable things in a Bears 30-27 loss in overtime to the Minnesota Vikings. You had that, you had another blocked field goal. You had a miscommunication on who was supposed to be on the field on a fourth down. I'll throw Caleb in there too. You had him taking a sack you absolutely can't take there in overtime. Brutal loss for the Bears. It seems to be the only variety of loss that they can suffer now is the brutal type. But honestly, and I said this earlier in the show, kind of a perfect loss. This season's over. They're not making the playoffs. As long as the arrow keeps pointing up on Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus and his staff keep exposing themselves as not fit to be NFL coaches, and you keep moving up on the draft board. And I talked about this earlier in the show, 4-7 right now, number 12 in draft position right now, but eight teams within one game of them, and all those teams have weaker schedules than what the Bears do. It's right there within their grasp to get in the top five of the NFL draft, which I know is not anything any of us wanted when the season started, but here we are. Here we are at 4-7 and not making the playoffs and with a head coach who's just not it. So let's lose more games while Caleb Williams continues to develop, and I'll be just fine. How about you? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Champaign. And Brian, who's been waiting patiently. Brian, you're on 670 The Score. What you got, man?
Rami, appreciate you taking the call, man.
My pleasure.
Great show. My last point you just made was exactly something I was going to touch on. Might as well just bench Caleb for the rest of the year. Still put him in danger. But
see, I don't want to do that. And Brian, I'll let you finish your thought. The thought did cross my mind when things were real bad. Before these last two games where Caleb has shown us a little something. When things were real bad and he was running for his life behind an offensive line that just couldn't protect him, the thought did cross my mind of let's just shut him down before you get him hurt or just do more damage to his development. But with the last 2 weeks, and like I said, the arrow pointing up on his development, I'm okay with taking losses as long as Caleb keeps moving in the right direction.
I hear you and I agree with that, but would you also agree that regardless, after this year, he's going to have to learn a whole new system anyways? So is he really developing in a system that's going to be there next year?
That's a good point, but I think that there are things about playing quarterback in the NFL that are universal across systems that he needs to learn and get a handle on, including just the speed of this game and knowing what defenses are trying to do to you and how you can read that and how you can exploit that. Those are things that transcend systems that you have to learn at the NFL level. So as long as the offensive line is holding up all right, and I thought they did an admirable job against a very good Vikings defense, as long as they're doing that and Caleb is working these things out and is getting better at these things, I'm okay with him being out there on the field.
Agreed. So moving forward, with the whole coaching staff, I mean, everybody getting fired, including the new OC. I mean, everybody's saying his praises, like he's doing a great job. Anybody could have done a better job than Shane Waldron.
True.
I'm just wondering, what are we looking for moving forward? And I got a few options, but I'd like to hear your opinion first.
I mean, I mean, Ben Johnson seemed. I appreciate the call, Brian. And we heard the report earlier in the season. I think it was Ian Rappaport from NFL Network who said that Ben Johnson had his eyes on the Bears job, and that's one of the reasons why he wasn't interested in any of the vacancies last year. But at the end of the day, I just want a bright, preferably young, not to be ageist, but a bright young offensive mind to come in here and be attached at the hip with Caleb Williams and just really let those guys figure this thing out and sink or swim together. You know what I mean? But getting somebody in here who is attached to Caleb Williams, getting somebody in here, you know, with the mission that they had in mind when they hired Matt Nagy. Remember when Matt Nagy was hired and they said he was brought in here to turn Justin Fields into a franchise quarterback and run a high-powered offense? I want that to be the objective of this next head coach. I want this next head coach's number one objective to be Caleb Williams and getting that offense to a point that you strike fear in opposing defenses. That's what I want. You brought up Thomas Brown, and I don't know that, you know, that he's the answer at offensive coordinator. I like what I've seen in two games. And if you bring in a Ben Johnson and he wants to keep Thomas Brown in as his offensive coordinator, not play caller, but offensive coordinator and somebody who's kind of part of the thing, especially if he continues to sort of foster and grow this relationship and with Caleb Williams, and there's that mutual belief in each other that there seems to be right now. I don't hate the idea of a little continuity for the kid. You know what I mean? If Ben Johnson and Thomas Brown can coexist, or whoever that next head coach is, if they can coexist and have similar philosophies and ideas, keep them around. But as far as what I've seen in these two games from Thomas Brown, I have been really impressed. Just real quick, under Thomas Brown, Chicago has 391 yards of offense last week, 398 this week. The previous week against New England, prior to the Shane Waldron firing, 142 yards, man. 142 yards, and you had six straight games against bad defenses and managed to muster up two impressive performances in that against the two worst defenses that you saw in that stretch. Now against two very good defenses in Green Bay and Minnesota, you have 391 and 398 yards. That's not nothing. That's not nothing. You got to give the guy some credit for that. DJ Moore, different player under Thomas Brown than he was with Shane Waldron. With Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator, under 4.5 catches a game, just over 46 scrimmage yards per game, and 0.3 touchdowns a game. With Thomas Brown, 7 catches a game, 93 scrimmage yards a game, and half a touchdown per game. He is a different dude playing for Thomas Brown. And what I like a lot about Thomas Brown, Tyler, do we have that soundbite I mentioned earlier of Thomas Brown talking about his coaching philosophy? It's what I want from every coach, not just head coach, from every coach at any level, anywhere. College, high school, Pop Warner, the NFL, whatever it is. Work with what you got, man. Work with what you got. And it seems like in football, more than any other sport, and maybe this is just a Bears thing, maybe this is just my history of watching Bears coaches and offensive coordinators do this, but it does seem like in football, more than any other sport, you get kind of hard-headed guys who, I have a system, and I'm going to bring in my system, and you're going to learn the system, and we're all going to work within the system. And the system is the system. And I'm not going to say that doesn't work. I'm sure it works for some people, more than one way to do things. But I don't think that's the most optimal way to function. I've brought this quote up before, but if you ever watched the Bill Belichick of Football Life on NFL Network, and they play clips of interviews, they interviewed a bunch of his assistants, and they play them back to back, and they all say the same thing about Bill Belichick, what makes him unique and different as a head coach. He would say to his assistants and his scouts, don't tell me what a guy can't do. Tell me what he can do. And then let's work with that. And it sounds like Thomas Brown has a similar philosophy.
Yeah. Thomas, how do you balance wanting to do what you believe in as a play caller, but also acknowledging that your quarterback's been studying, you know, Shane's playbook since before he was drafted.
Yeah.
And that those two things aren't identical.
Yeah.
What is the give and take between what you think he may be comfortable with versus what you're comfortable with as a play caller?
Yeah, I think it's simple. It doesn't matter what I'm comfortable with. I don't play, right? So I can always adapt and adjust. To me, it's my job as a coordinator to adapt and adjust our players and what those guys do well. So whether it's Caleb, whether it's our line, whether it's our receivers or tight ends or backs, it's our job to design a plan to obviously attack the defense, but also favor what we do well.
I love that. I love that. I don't need to be comfortable. I'm not going out there and going against 300-pound athletes who could destroy me if I do the wrong thing. He doesn't need to be comfortable. He needs to make his players comfortable. He needs to put them in positions where they can succeed and do the things that they do well. It seems like a very simple thing in terms of coaching, but too many guys in this league don't get that. And Shane Waldron did not get that. I understand you have a system. That's a loose framework of what you want to do and what you think works at the NFL level. But there are variables within that, including your opponent and their strengths, your own players and their strengths and their weaknesses, and playing to those and playing against those and putting guys in position to succeed and do what they do well. It seems so simple and like common sense, but you've not seen it nearly enough, especially in Chicago. And so while yes, just two games, no, I'm not saying I want him to be the head coach of this team, but would I consider keeping Thomas Brown around with a new staff if we continue to see what we've seen and he continues to do what he just talked about doing there in that soundbite that we just played? Yes. Yes. I would 100% be open to that. But again, the arrow has to keep pointing up on Caleb Williams and this offense.
Well, let me just point out really quick, after the two games and then hearing what he's been saying in these press conferences, why wasn't he the offensive coordinator to begin with over Shane Waldron?
Great point. Like we talk about, you know, the Cliff Kingsbury's and other offensive guys with more of a track record, with more of a name than a Thomas Brown getting the job instead of a Shane Waldron. But yeah, like if Thomas Brown is already better at this than Shane Waldron is, which he apparently is, why didn't you see that? Why didn't you see that 7-8 months ago when you were looking for an offensive coordinator?
Yet another indictment on Matt Eberflus.
And Ryan Poles.
That's a good point. And, well, does Trace Armstrong having to represent him make that much of an impact? We're all laughing, but I mean, it's a serious conversation.
I know. It's something worth looking at. Let's get in one more quick call before the break. Let's go to Rick, who's on the north side. Rick, you're on 670 The Score. What do you got on the Bears, man?
Hey, how you doing today other than the Bears?
Doing well.
Okay. I know this much, you know, this was the first time in a long time where I couldn't get to sleep at all thinking about this game. But I think the issue is, I think our players are pretty good, right? They're not the absolute best, right? They're pretty good. It all starts with the McCaskies down to management to coaching, right? Right? If the general manager does not have the guts to say, I don't care who got me the job here, I don't want Eberflus. He's not a good coach. And it's been going on 3 years here. It's the same thing, right? It goes all the way back to, in my opinion, I mean, I've been watching the Bears since 1957. I'm 77 years old. It all goes back to me to the time where Muggsy Harris had a massive heart attack and dropped dead, and the ownership shifted from the Harrises to the McCaskies. Think about what's happened since then.
Rick, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I appreciate the call, and I know exactly what's gone on since then. We all do, because we're Bears fans, and I don't disagree with you. I do think you have to go to the top, and got a text here from the 219. Says, hilarious. 3 weeks ago, it was, we need a new OC. Okay, we do it. Still suck. Now it's the head coach. When he goes, it'll be the GM. When we still suck, it'll be that and another. But at the end of the day, it's on ownership. And that goes back to what I said earlier in the show and something I said to Hub Arkish a couple weeks ago when I was on the air with him. When the Bears hire someone, I have doubts simply because the Bears hired them. If the Bears hired you, I'm like, what's wrong with that guy? Like, it looks good on paper, but what is it? What's the thing here that we're gonna find out later that they're not good at? I immediately question your credentials and your abilities when the Bears hire you simply because the Bears hired you. And that does go to the top. That does go to the McCaskies because they hire people to hire people to hire people to hire people. That's how any company, any business works in terms of hierarchy. They hire Ryan Poles. Well, they hire Kevin Warren to hire Ryan Poles to hire Matt Eberflus. And then together they put together a roster and go out there and try and win football games. I immediately question Kevin Warren because the McCaskies hired him. And then I immediately question Ryan Poles because he was hired by a guy that the McCaskies hired. And then I immediately question Matt Eberflus because he was hired by a guy who was hired by the guy who was hired by the McCaskies. You see what I'm saying? So I don't disagree with that. And I don't think, like, people will roll their eyes when you start going down this road of, you know, how deep-rooted, how deep-seated this thing is and how far it goes back and why the Bears have been this for so long. But there's one common denominator. There's one common factor here when we talk about decades of this team being mediocre, really, or worse, at times a laughingstock of the NFL. And the one common denominator, the one common factor, yes, is the McCaskies. There's no way around that. From Blaine, not even mad about the loss at this point. Caleb played a good game. Yes, he had a rookie mistake in overtime. The team should be overcoming his mistake. But no, Caleb is overcoming the team's and coaching mistakes while trying not to make his own. Once again, Matt Eberflus showed he coaches not to lose instead of coaching to win mentality showed up. Looking at the defensive play calls in the fourth quarter and overtime makes me sick. Playing to lose instead of playing to get the win. Hashtag bear down. Actually, the decision to go for two there was kind of a decision to win, right? Wasn't he going for the win there and saying, and he explained it later, that what they were doing was making it a two touchdowns win type of game. Right? If they get two-point conversions, then they win. That was his thinking there instead of going for the tie.
It was definitely a hype. So it was either, okay, you're not trusting your field goal or your special teams unit, even though they made a field goal earlier in the game and overcame the block, or it was that thing we've seen a couple of teams do where, oh, maybe we can get a two-point conversion and make it a six-point game. Get a stop, no guarantees. You go down and score again. Oh, we can take a one-point lead. I personally don't like it. If you're leaving a chip shot extra point up on the board with a kicker who's made every single kick inside of 40 yards since being a Chicago Bear, take the easy extra point.
Agreed. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in, talk about this Bears heartbreaking loss to the Vikings, 30-27 in overtime. I called it a perfect loss. I stand by that. It's a perfect loss. Caleb Williams took a step in the right direction. Matt Eberflus continued to expose himself, and you continued to improve your draft position or potentially improve your draft position. Those are my three objectives for the rest of this season. Development of Caleb, the exposing of Matt Eberflus as a football coach. Not the other kind of exposing. The exposing of Matt Eberflus and moving up in draft position. That's all I want out of the rest of this season. What are your thoughts on the game? The big picture. 312-644-6767. It's Rami Makhlouf with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, and it is presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and back right after this.
I thought we handled it pretty well. Caleb did a pretty good job first time going against Flores, and, you know, that's not an easy task as a rookie. And, you know, sure, there were some things that I'm sure he would say he'd want to clean up, I think, kind of thinking back to the first half. But, I mean, all in all, to operate the way he did was pretty impressive. And, you know, it was good to be able to do what we did. I thought in the screen game was really well with DJ and getting the ball out and You know, kind of Caleb knowing where the hots were in certain scenarios and just kind of trusting the plan. So, yeah, I thought all in all it was really good. Thomas put a really good game plan together, I thought. And, yeah, so I thought all in all it was a pretty good outing out there for the offense.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
I agree with Cole Kmet. Pretty good day for the offense, but the Bears fall 30-27. To the Minnesota Vikings in overtime, and pretty good day for Caleb Williams. He had some rookie moments, some missed throws, especially in the first half. He was a little bit off with his accuracy. That sack in overtime, you just can't do that. But that's rookie stuff, man. That's rookie stuff. We do have to remember he is a rookie. Matt Eberflus is not a rookie. The guys on that special teams unit, not rookies. They don't have that excuse. And Caleb Williams found himself having to overcome their mistakes and their poor choices by being Superman. And he's going to have to be Superman sometimes. Thomas Brown actually tells him that often, go be Superman, since he's taken over as the offensive coordinator. But I don't want my rookie quarterback having to overcome his veteran head coach and having to overcome veteran players' mistakes on this roster. I want them to be overcoming his rookie mistakes and pulling out wins in spite of those rookie mistakes that are going to happen. They're just going to happen. Tyler, was it you or a caller who asked me for like specific names if they were to fire Matt Eberflus? Was that you?
I think it was a caller.
Okay. Here's one from the 312 and one that's crossed my mind. Would you give up some draft picks to get Kyle Shanahan from the 49ers? I don't know that I'd give up draft picks, but you might not have to. If you look at the way that 49ers season is playing out and the expectations that they had with that roster, and they have had some injury issues, which probably they'll give Kyle Shanahan a little bit of a break on that, but he's been there a long time, man. And that's an organization that has pretty high standards, has a pretty high bar for what they want to accomplish. And the season that they're having right now, and I worked out west for a little bit and followed and covered the 49ers. There has always been a little bit of friction and power struggle there with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Everybody coexists because it's working, but there are some people who don't love him and aren't necessarily thrilled with the way things have gone there. And you look at some of the stuff about Kyle Shanahan in terms of fourth quarter and being down in games and really never coming back to win, his team's never come back to win them. There are some things that make you go, what's this on your resume? You know, you know what I mean? When you're doing a job interview, you're like, what was going on here during this time? But overall, I think that guy's really sharp and a really good head coach. If he's on the market, I take a look. I don't know that I'm giving up draft picks to get
him. I hear everything you're saying. I'd personally be surprised if he's available. I feel like they're not going to let him go, and they're going to kind of use the injury route and bring him back here.
I wouldn't be surprised. No, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised either way. If they decided to make a change, if they decided to bring him back, but I've always been a big Kyle Shanahan.
And then the
guy.
Other thing is, in that sort of situation, who are you bringing in to upgrade? Because that's the biggest other thing, right? Like with the Bears, it's like you can point to almost anybody. You're an upgrade over Matt Eberflus. You're an upgrade over Matt Eberflus. Who are you going to bring in there?
Tyler Farengold may be an upgrade over Matt Eberflus.
I think you, Rami Makhlouf, could be an upgrade too. You want to be the OC in DC? Let's do it. Let's
I'm more of a defensive-minded guy, so I'd prefer they go in a different direction.
Well, I've always been more offensive-minded, so let's do it.
Let's team up. 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the show and throw your hat in the ring to be Bears head coach or coordinator, whatever the case might be. 312-644-6767. Shoot me a text. Give me a call. Let's talk about this Bears 30-27 loss or bigger picture things if that's what's on your mind. Let's go to the south side and get in. Kevin, you're on the Score and want to talk some Bears. What's up, Kev?
Hey, how's it going there?
Good, man.
All right. I hear people talk about how disappointed it was, and I called before and I said,
I expected the Bears to have a middle range season to a losing season because of what they did with the draft. And what they should do in the future is what they should have done this year. They should have gotten offensive linemen to protect whatever quarterback you have. As soon as you put in a rookie quarterback, you hit the reset button, and that's just how it is. You should not expect the rookie quarterback to be great his first year. He needs a learning curve, and for the Bears, winning or losing for the rest of the year, these teams are better than them. I expect for them to lose unless something happens like injuries or the other team lays down, which I don't expect these teams to lay down. Chicago asked for what they got.
I don't disagree, Kevin, and I appreciate the call. And these are things I was talking about in the off season in terms of their off season decisions and roster building and specifically that offensive line, specifically is Matt Eberflus an NFL head coach, specifically who is Shane Waldron. And I wasn't like a Shane Waldron doubter or hater when they hired him. I didn't watch Seattle every week. I didn't know what he was bringing to the table as an offensive coordinator. So it was just an unknown. It was just a question mark.
Shall I bring back the famous Jackson Smith and Jigba clip with CHGO, or is that we already kind of buried that to the ground a little bit?
I mean, I didn't put a lot of stock in that at the time, but in hindsight, now I kind of do. You know what I mean? And there was also a quote from Pete Carroll, who is his head coach in Seattle, who said, "We need to do a better job of playing to our players' strengths," and asking him to do the things that they're good at and not asking him to do the things that they struggle at, which goes back to what I was saying about Thomas Brown doing just that. But so, I mean, yeah, there were, I don't know if you'd even call them red flags, yellow flags when it comes to Shane Waldron and some of the things that he'd done as an offensive coordinator and that people had said about him as an offensive coordinator. But I was approaching it more as just an unknown. I don't know what this guy brings to the table. I'm not saying he'll be bad. I'm not saying he'll be good. Just, I don't know. And there were questions and concerns I was raising about this Bears team and the grand plan of Ryan Poles. And a lot of people didn't want to hear that heading into the season. A lot of people looked at me like I was crazy. Like, how could you question King Poles? And here we are through three seasons and really nothing to show for it.
Good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person.
That is Jackson Smith and Jigba with not the most ringing endorsement.
Is this live?
For his offensive coordinator, now former offensive coordinator, now the Bears' former offensive coordinator. Here's a couple texts, one from the 630. The Bears have three speeds in which they play: start, stumble, and fall, and our head coach can't fix the sandwich, let alone a football team. Yeah, they seem to do a lot of that. Brad from Grafton, I've never been more frustrated as a Bears fan. If the Bears win the games, they should have won even just the 7 seed and would own the tiebreaker over them. That's true. Like, if they just won the games they were supposed to win this year, and that's not even including these last two against Minnesota and Green Bay. They were going to be underdogs in those games no matter what transpired in the first 8 weeks of the season. They were going to be underdogs. But if you beat Arizona, if you beat New England, if you beat Washington, if you beat Indianapolis, games you're supposed to win. Those are five more wins that I just listed off right there. Five. If they win three of those five games that they're supposed to win, we're talking about a 7 seed now.
A flipped record.
Yeah.
Three of those, that's a flipped record. But I was just thinking, it's going to be fascinating to see how Matt Eberflus has this team prepare for a short week against the best team in football. You know, we've bashed him so much. And I mean, I'm not expecting anything like great, extravagant, whatever. How is he going to have this team prepared for 3 days rest against by far the best team in football?
The best we can hope for, and you probably won't get it because it's a very well-prepared and well-coached team, the opposite of the Bears, is that it's like a trap game, that they're looking past the Bears on Thursday and see an easy win, a roll out the helmets type of game, as I sometimes call it. That's the Bears' best chance of getting a win on Thanksgiving.
And the thing that is lingering in the back of my mind outside of this year is the Lions really struggled with the Bears last year. The Bears, honestly, should have swept Detroit. They handled them at Soldier Field. They had them on the ropes at Ford Field, too. And you know that's got to be lingering in the back of Dan Campbell's mind, knowing what can we adjust from what we didn't do last year to capitalize this year. And they've just been putting teams away and just not looking back.
I'm so mad that we're talking about the offseason. I'm so mad.
It's depressing, isn't it?
Yes. I'm really, really mad that we're talking about the offseason in week 10. 312-644-6767. I did want to hear, we heard from Olin Kreutz earlier, and a common theme of Olin Kreutz is people just need to shut up. And I think one of the people who he's specifically talking about is DJ Moore. And he's talked a lot, and he's been very transparent when he's talked to the media. And so I like to hear from him. Even if it's not great for the team, I do like to hear from him. And here's what he had to say after the 30-27 loss to the Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, it's tough. We battled all the way through. Had some moments that showed spurts. And when we went down, we had to get a field goal. We went down and drove the ball, did that. Then we did good. And then overtime, we just got to put up points.
What do you take away from those final two drives of regulation to get into overtime?
We were playing our best football. We should have capitalized on it in OT, but we didn't. And here we are with a loss.
Caleb had some throws today, especially that one to you, 27 yards to set up the game tying kick with 3 seconds left. Was there some heat on that play? Describe that play.
Well, how you threw the ball? Yeah, he threw a nice layered ball with some oomph behind it, and I mean, I just had to catch it.
After everything, you know, you guys get the onside kick, you get that catch. Do you have a feeling like, okay, we're due for something good to happen?
Yeah, you definitely think it's some special is about to happen. And when we got that and we went to overtime, you just was like, dang, we about to win this game. And then it don't come out that way, and you back here asking me why we losing again.
Did the passing game kind of look like the template you guys imagined going into the season where a bunch of guys are involved, it's high volume?
Yeah, I mean, at any point in time, any of us can be involved, but today all three of us was involved and made positive plays today, and I mean, that's what we look forward to.
Seems like Thomas has been able to get the ball in your hands a lot near the line of scrimmage. Just What's that kind of change been like for you? Has it felt like a change, and what's helped that be successful?
Nah, I don't feel like no change. I just, once the ball get in my hand, it's go time. I just can't have a negative play. Yeah, I think they get the ball in my hands at the line of scrimmage because that's probably the best thing to do for a positive play.
What about that?
Oh, with Rome? No, I seen him coming. I tried to get it to Rome or get a PI and got neither. So go back and got to work on my QB skills.
I know that we've asked you similar questions, but do you guys kind of shake your heads with all the different ways that you guys have been losing this year, whether Hail Mary or block kicks and now this?
Because we're losing in almost the most unreal, like, situations. It's like, all right, now it's like the luck got to go in our favor at some point. So hopefully it's starting on Thanksgiving and can have a nice meal coming back.
DJ, what do you think of the game plan to handle their pressure and the things that they've
been? I think we did pretty good. We got the ball out quick, and the line did an amazing job today.
What did you see on your touchdown?
I was about to say what touchdown, but I mean, it was just a screen play, just had to maneuver. Everybody was on their guy, so it was almost a walk-in, but I think somebody touched me, but so it wasn't a walk-in.
Weird losses at least make you guys feel like you're better than your record, better than a 5-game losing streak?
Yes, because it's like the most unironic ways to lose a game. Like, you lose on a Hail Mary tip, and then stuff like that, it's like we just wasn't doing the right things to win at that moment. Just being on the same page, knowing the game plan, where his hots are, who's the hot on which play. We had multiple, and everybody was on their jobs today, so it made it easy for him.
What about Caleb as far as his big picture development? You're going to be here for a long time playing with him. What are you seeing in that right now?
That his confidence is through the roof. He's understanding all the game plans through and through. So to see him go out there and just be able to play quarterback like he wants to, and I mean, it's amazing to see.
A very positive DJ Moore after the loss to Minnesota. I mean, he's not blind to the problems that went on out there. at Soldier Field yesterday, and he's, again, very, very transparent and very open about those problems and what they can do and what they need to do to fix those and not let those things happen again. But I've heard a much more dejected and negative DJ Moore after losses than what I just heard right there. And I mean, that's one of the leaders of this team and obviously a guy who's in that locker room. And so I think you can, at least to some degree, gauge the vibe and the confidence of this football team based on what we heard from DJ Moore there. And I think a lot of it has to do with, and he pointed to this at the end or was asked about this at the end, is the development and the upward trajectory of their rookie quarterback. So that is something to take out of this. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in, one more segment here on the Score Overnight Show, talking some Bears to kick off a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And speaking of DJ Moore, part of a jam-packed Plumbers 911 Football Monday, starting with Mully and Haw, who are joined by Olin Krutz and DJ at 7 and 8, respectively, and Brad Biggs at 8:25. Midday show, Bernstein and Harris. They'll be joined by Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Wiederer at 1. Kurt Warner joins Spiegel and Holmes in the afternoon at 3. Mark Grody at 4, and Jalen Johnson joins those guys at 5 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, TJ Edwards joins Bernstein and Harris as well at noon. So we got your Bears covered for you here, for better or worse, win or loss. We are here for you, Bears fans, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and back with more and more of you if you want to chime in. Last segment right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Getting out of here in just a few minutes, but still so much Bears talk to come on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. As I mentioned just before the break, Mully and Haw coming up, including visits from Olin Krutz at 7 and DJ Moore at 8 and Brad Biggs at 8:25. And I'm sure they'll take more of your calls and thoughts at 312-644-6767, as I have been doing, and got a few more minutes to do so. And I want to do just that and go out to the south side and talk with George, get his thoughts on the Bears. What you got, George?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
It's been a crazy season, man. A lot of ups and downs and stuff like that. It's been hard being a Bears fan this year. But the one thing I would like, you know, last couple of games, I like the way the offense has been playing with that spark, with that drive to win. You know, it's just crazy to me. And I want to get your thoughts. Why would it take the Bears so long to find this guy, Thomas, that's been in the field since the beginning of the season, to, you know, not realize, hey, we got a guy here that could probably help us out to get this offense going and, you know, get the best out of our guys. I just like the way
George. I appreciate the call, and I wish I had the answer to that question, like why it took him so long to. Well, first of all, why you hired Shane Waldron? Like, for starters, let's go back to that. Why did you hire that guy, and why didn't you recognize whatever flaws were there that ended up leading to the lack of performance from this offense? Why didn't you spot that in the interview process? And why didn't you hire someone better? Why didn't you hire the guy who's your offensive coordinator right now in Thomas Brown, or go and get somebody else? And I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. It's the Bears. Like that's my answer to that. It's the Bears, and that's what they do. They hire people who aren't qualified for the jobs that they have consistently over and over and over again. And while I'm on that, the subject of the Bears hiring people who aren't qualified to be doing what they're doing, obviously that starts with the head coach and Matt Eberflus. And for so long, you could point, well, since the middle of last year, you could point to his defenses and go, look at those defenses. Is he still a defensive genius, a defensive guru? Are we still going with that? Because it sure doesn't look like that at this point.
We'll just say he's a defensive coach.
They had 11 sacks during their three-game win streak. They have seven combined over their five-game losing streak. That's a guy who's just not scheming up to create. He is one of the best pass rushers in the league in Montez Sweat. And look, I know one of the concerns coming into the season was who's going to rush the quarterback other than Montez Sweat. And I know they lost Brian Billings to the injury, and he was doing some work in terms of creating a little pressure up the middle, but you're the defensive genius. You're the defensive guru. You're the head coach calling the defensive plays, and you can't draw up a defense that gets some pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And now listen to the last few weeks here for the Bears. Gave up 29 to the Cardinals, gave up 20 to Green Bay and over 300 yards, gave up 30 today to Minnesota and almost 400 total yards, and have lost five straight games now. And in each and every one of those games, you ran into points where you couldn't stop the opposing offense in crucial situations. And I pointed this out earlier. I found this stat as I was doing the show. Teams are converting almost 72% of third and longs against the Bears so far this year. Third and seven or longer, teams are converting almost 72% of those. How is that possible? How is that possible when you're this defensive genius? When that's your specialty, that's what you do, and you can't draw up a defense to stop a team on third and long when Nick Mullins is at quarterback? Sam Darnold limps to the sidelines. It's third and 12. They're backed up in their own territory. It looked to me like they were just punting on the possession. Like, here, just give it to Aaron Jones. He'll get tackled before the first, and we'll just punt it, and hopefully maybe we flip the field. And somehow he gets 13 yards on that and gets a first down and absolutely breaks your back as a defense. How is this happening with a defensive-minded head coach? But you know a thought that just ran through my head as I was going to get coffee during the break to get me on through the ride home after I get off the air here? I was like, why haven't they fired this dude yet, man? What are they waiting for? They might, well, first of all, the Bears just don't really do that.
They're the Bears.
Yeah. Secondly, I mean, look around. Who do you hand the reins over to? I think they just don't have anybody. You're not going to go and hire somebody from the outside midseason. You can't go to your defensive coordinator because Matt Eberflus is your defensive coordinator. I mean, I know you have someone with the title of defensive, but he's been calling the defensive plays. You can't go to your offensive coordinator. He just got that job. You're going to make him interim head coach right away? I think the Bears might be looking at this and going, we don't have any other options in-house to move on for Matt Eberflus right now. It might only get worse. It might just be total chaos and anarchy in the locker room if you don't have some kind of authority figure who carries some authority within the organization. That might be it. That might be why Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of this football team and probably will be till the end of the season. Bears lose 30-27 to the Vikings in overtime. It's been my absolute pleasure to talk about it with you here the last 5 hours, but just kicking off a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Olin Kreutz set to join Mully and Haw at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 8:25. Also coming up, Dan Wiederer will join Bernstein and Harris. Kurt Warner will join Spiegel at Holmes at 3 o'clock. So much more, and they'll keep taking your calls and thoughts as well. My thanks to Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass and all of you for contributing via the phones, the texts, the tweets, all of it. Appreciate it. Hope you all feel better about the Bears after we talked about it for the last few hours. I've been Rami Makhlouf. I'll be back Friday on the morning show along with Hub Arkish talking about, hopefully, a Bears Thanksgiving win, but I'm not banking on that. Thanks to y'all for listening. I will talk to you then. This has been Rami Makhlouf on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.